When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Down to Biscayne. Yay. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Well, hello, everybody. Just want to read you guys something. Let's start with this. Through it all, Cronin told himself, eliminate the emotion, the frustration, the fatigue, most of all, Cronin implored himself, don't settle. Don't let yourself. Miami Heat won by 60 points tonight. They set an all-time record for assists. Jimmy Butler was a plus 42 in between watching tennis from the bench. Bam Adebayo made two threes in the game. Haywood Highsmith turned into Ray Allen. I got a text from someone very high up in the Heat organization that said, right as the buzzer sounded, how does Cronin have a job? Boom. There hasn't been a whole lot of fun stuff this season. Been a lot of rough nights, losses to Washington, giving up 20-point leads to the Knicks. Injury after injury after injury. Even tonight, couldn't get through without someone from the Dame package suffering what appears to be at the moment, at least a minor injury. We'll talk about it later. But this night was fun. This night was fun. Even though I tweeted yesterday, take the points. I didn't realize that the Heat would exceed that in the first 4 minutes. The spread was 15 and a half. They won by 60. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. We do not have major passes tonight because if we did, the Heat would have lost. So instead, we brought on Bentovia. You can follow him at Bentovia NBA. We appreciate everybody who joined us on playback. This was just catharsis, honestly. After everything that went on this summer, after the Heat had to deal with the Mickey Mouse organization, they had to deal with a bunch of frankly lies about them, their players, which were perpetuated by national media people. One in particular who sucks up to other general managers to get information and did in this particular case. And we should have written this all down in a Moleskine notebook. That's the worst basketball team I've ever seen. And look, we can talk about wanting to tank, okay? I get it, Greg, to a certain extent. Like, you're trying to accumulate assets. What the hell are they going to do with those assets? They had on the floor tonight, there's no Malcolm Brogdon. There's no Robert Williams, right? These picks that they're going to get from these other teams, whether it's Golden State, they're going to F them up like they've F'd up all the other ones. You've got Blazers fans on there going nuts about how Scoot doesn't run back on defense. This is the kind of culture they've put him into, and so he's not going to develop the way that he would in another organization. They pick up Ayton. The perfect thing tonight is Ayton goes for 18-8 in a game they lose by 60, which just is the most dominating thing ever. By the way, they would have gotten him anyway in that trade, regardless of whether or not they decided to snub the Heat. And they were getting cooked, Greg, not just by Jimmy, who, again, could have literally left for the Miami Open at halftime and none of us would have cared tonight. Not just by Jimmy, not just by Bam, who begged to go back in to try to get a triple-double and played around for about a minute and didn't get the assist and then went back to the bench and seemed disappointed by it. They were getting cooked by Haywood Highsmith. They were getting cooked by Patty Mills. They were getting cooked by Thomas Bryant. Okay. And it's karma to me. It's karma. Because they were, look, it's one thing again, if a team doesn't want to make a trade with you, that happens all the time. But that was a Mickey Mouse operation. That was a shit show this summer. And the Heat have never dealt with anything like that before. People who'd been in the organization for 25, 30 years, they were flabbergasted by the lack of professionalism on the other side, the lack of professionalism by the media who took the other side's side, whether it was a certain ESPN reporter or whether it was the Ringer crowd. And to win by 60, yeah, they wanted this. They wanted this. And the reality is, we kind of wanted this.
For sure. And I think that it's good that it's against this team. They needed a feel-good night, and tonight was a feel-good moment from a million different angles. The fact that they were whipping the ball around, sharing it, guys were smiling. Jimmy was smiling early. That's always a good sign. And then you saw everybody else playing hard. You saw so many guys in double figures, so many guys with 20 or more. Bam, almost with a triple-double. Hunting a triple-double late. All of that was awesome. There was just these are the kind of games that we've talked about, like against Washington recently, where they just should have never had that be a close game at all. You need to get in this last 10, finish them like this. This is the way that you do this so that you can secure your sixth seed, because I think that they're aiming for it while Portland – gosh, they look aimless. It looks like Miami, they have a path to the sixth seed, and so that's something viable to play for. That's why in a game like this, to put them out, but not only to put them out, they didn't embarrass them in the sense that they were running up the score. They just were legitimately executing and scoring every single time because Portland was so inept, and it was an avalanche after avalanche. And it looked like Portland basically just, if they could have forfeited the game, maybe they wanted to. And for that to be the competitive vibe that's flowing through Portland, that's not going to win anything anytime soon. So back to your point about that organization and karma, you don't mess with the karma of basketball, as they say. And I think that they did a little bit, because everybody kind of in the entire league thought Damian Lillard would end up where he wanted to be. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I will just say that I think everybody expected that to get done. And when it didn't, it admittedly threw everyone for a loop. And tonight was a night where you could just kind of smile and say, you know what? Things haven't been perfect for us, but things are definitely not perfect for those guys either.
We're not the worst guys in the room. There's actually more important things that happened tonight outside of Miami that affect the Heat, and we'll get to them as the show goes on, and we will get to our usual segments here. But Ben, before we do, I want to bring you in on this, because Greg mentions it. The Heat executed at a high level tonight. This was not just we want to punish this team and we're going to, you know, embarrass them by embarrassing ourselves. They made the right cuts. They made the right passes, and the shots still have to go down. Like, I mean, you had Haywood Highsmith doing some silly stuff like step backs, you know, full step backs into threes at the end of the game. That's not like, that's not Ray Allen, Mike Miller, James Jones, Duncan Robinson doing that. That's Haywood Highsmith doing that stuff. And I just wonder, in your view, how much of what we saw today potentially carries over. They're playing another bad team Sunday, but a team they lost to recently, that they may not have the same animus for that the organization clearly still has for Portland, up and down. But I mean, we saw Jaime Hawkins, you know, get in the groove, and it seemed like there was a concerted effort to get him some easy baskets tonight, just to see the ball go in, have some of the cuts work. We mentioned Thomas Bryant, etc. We'll talk about that a little bit as we go forward. But what do you think we saw tonight, Ben, that can be taken past this game? Because they played a team that was a level below a G League team. Like, literally, the Sioux Falls is playing right now. And I would put Swider, Alondis, and that group against what we saw from the Blazers tonight.
Yeah, Cole Swider's having a game and a half tonight. I think he's got like 33 right now. But things that can carry over, I mean, I spent the entire game on Playback, and if you guys aren't with us on Playback, you got to get over there. It's such a fun environment to watch basketball in. But I think our guy Matt made the point early, like they're cutting with more purpose than they have recently in this one. And like it felt like there was a concerted effort, like this team is going to be lazy with their defense. We can get them on these backdoor cuts. You saw a lot of dribble penetration from Terry Rozier, Jimmy Butler, kicking it out to shooters, kicking it to cutters. Jaime got, I think, at least three layups just off of well-timed cuts. Like, that's the stuff that this Heat offense under Eric Spoelstra has been so good at over the years. And it's the stuff that they've kind of been not as good at this season, to put it lightly. Like, it feels like there's been a lot more standing around, ball watching, things that, you know, from my memory, just wouldn't fly in past years. But that's the kind of stuff. I mean, they set a franchise record with 41 assists tonight. I don't think that's something necessarily we're going to see again, but it's been a pretty consistent theme that when the assists are high, like the offense looks like a modern offense this season. I remember that Kings game when they broke the 7-game losing streak, they had what, 31 assists on 36 made baskets or something like that. Like when they are clicking in that way, when the ball is moving around like that, they look like a team that can contend. And that's kind of what we want. You're talking about other things going on around the league. I believe the Knicks are up 2 with 24 seconds left, but Philly lost tonight to Cleveland. Evan Mobley actually hit a game-winning 3, funny enough. But
I want to get into that. We're going to hold that for a little bit to later. But I think what you're kind of getting at is, again, there was purpose tonight from the beginning. They weren't going to screw around with this team. They weren't going to let it be a clutch game. And a lot of it started, honestly, I thought early with Rozier, Greg, who I thought was good. And look, these are the types of games he should play at this level. Yeah. We've talked about whether he should, you know, be more aggressive at times or all the rest of this. Again, they still don't have Hero. They still don't have Duncan. Jimmy's just coming back into the fold, and you want Rozier to play a game like this where, again, he's attacking, but also the threes in rhythm at this point. And I said, you don't want him to burn too many of them tonight because we know how streaky he can be. You said, don't bring that energy to the postgame show, but it has been kind of a signature of Rozier's career that he'll have like one or two games like this from three, and then it's like, okay, there's a 1-for-11 spell, and then you kind of come out of it. But I honestly, he's not going to be the gamer of the night, and Bam's not going to be the gamer of the night, because we don't get an opportunity to give the gamer of the night to this person too much. And also, it's kind of funny that this is the gamer of the night against Portland.
And now on 5 on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention 5 reasons, it's just $20. So mention 5 reasons or 5 RSN. You get to play all day for $20. And now, the gamer of the night.
This stat line is just ludicrous. We could have gone with any of about 5 guys tonight. I mean, we really could have gone with Haywood. He missed 1-3 tonight. Has he missed like more than 3? I mean, he's like 18 of his last 21 from 3, and gave you 20-6 tonight on 7-9, shooting 5-6. But I mean, it's got to be Thomas Bryant, right? Like 20 minutes. First thing, man was going to lose his job tonight. Like Kevin Love is back. He said, ready.
No.
He's like, nope. I see. Look, there are guys on the other side. Who are these people? Reef, Baji. I follow the league pretty damn carefully. I really do. I really don't know
their bench. I know. I only know 2 guys off that bench, honestly, and that's Banton and Thybulle.
And Thybulle, right? And then, yeah, because again, Sharp's not available. Simons isn't available. Brogdon's not available. Robert Williams isn't available. Joe Cronin's not available. I, you know, it's funny. Bally's
been looking at right a second.
Bally's put out a tweet. Reith when the slammer cuts the lead to 42. Bally's Miami. Or Bally's Florida to put out that tweet. Thomas Bryant tonight. 20 minutes. 11 of 16 from the floor. 1 of 3 from 3. 26 points and 12 rebounds. I'll say this for the guy. He plays hard. He does. Like he, you can tell he cares. I think after the Deadman experience, kind of what they dealt with last year, yeah. Like they he's just wanted that. Somebody. No, he's not that. He cares. He has limitations. There's no question. He is exactly as advertised as a player, which is that he'll give you these scoring spurts, right? And then, but defensively, you just can't leave him out there for that long because he's going to get lost and things are going to happen. He just doesn't have the lateral quickness to be able to guard in space and those kind of things. But he does play hard. He plays with emotion. And it was good to see. If this is the last Thomas Bryant game we're going to see the rest of the year, he made an impression, Greg. I'll give him that. And look, you didn't even have to play Caleb much tonight. I'm looking at their bench. Like, Caleb played 9 minutes, right?
That's good. You
know, it's good. Hopkins played 25. And again, we talked about his cutting and finishing. But good for Thomas Bryant tonight.
I love his energy. Enthusiasm. I also want to give a shout out to Terry because Terry made a concerted effort to find Jaime early on a couple easy buckets and really get him in rhythm. And I thought that that was an important part of Jaquez starting to play better. So shout out to Terry Rozier tonight as well. But Thomas Bryant was the star of the show, 11 to 16 from the field. I mean, what are we doing here? This is a Shaquille O'Neal-like performance from him off the bench. And it's a feel-good night just because it's just funny that your opponent is the Portland Trail Blazers with a whole myriad of players that I don't really even know very well. And if that makes me a casual, then I guess I'm a casual. But a lot of those guys off the bench tonight were really names that were not familiar to me. And Ayton couldn't do much when there was moments where Thomas Bryant got to match up against him. So all around, shout out to Thomas Bryant for bringing the anti-Dwayne Dedman energy.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar S Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Because you know you're going to get enthusiasm. You know you're going to get the disposition of a player who hustles. He may make mistakes, but you know he's going to be you know, kind of run through a wall for the team. And that's a cool part of Thomas Bryant.
We'll get to the play of the night here in a second. We've talked about Rozier. I'm seeing some comments here, and I just want to hit it a little bit as we go forward. There's a comment here, and we try to get to all our commenters here on the live show, which goes to the YouTube channel before it goes to the podcast feed. And this one comes in: Jimmy looked disinterested again tonight. You know, if he's going to be a plus 42 in 24 minutes, I'll take disinterested. I mean, he had 8 assists. This is not the game I'm going to worry about it with him. Sunday, obviously, look, they need to get that one on Easter Sunday in Washington. They can't screw around like they did against Washington previously. But we know what the games are on the schedule that they got to get. Okay. And it's looking very clearly right now that Indiana game, the one up there, is as must win as you're ever going to have. I cannot see really a path as I look at the Pacers' schedule and some of the teams that the Pacers still have to play, the Nets a couple times included, how the Heat can possibly grab the sixth seed without winning that game in Indiana.
Agree.
So honestly, if Jimmy wants to give this performance like for the rest, but actually turns it up in Indiana, gives you 43 minutes and gives you a 28, 7-8 performance, okay, on high efficiency with a couple of steals, you'll take it at this point. Okay, my thing with Jimmy has been in the games we've expected him to play with high intensity, at a high level against the really good teams, he hasn't. We've done that podcast over and over. He hasn't done that consistently. That Indiana game is going to be that game. All right, let's get to the play of the night, and then we'll get into some of the results around the league and how this affects the Heat going forward. And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette play of the night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at InsuranceByLynette.com. All right, I'm going to let you choose. You're the guest tonight, Ben. What are we going with?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch to choose from this one. I think I'm going to go early second quarter, about 9 minutes to go, kind of set the tone for the rest of the game. You got Scoot Henderson kind of semi-transition, driving down the lane. Thomas Bryant comes out of nowhere on the weak side, gets a huge block. Ball goes to Jimmy. He's kind of pushing the pace. Thomas Bryant running the floor. You got to reward your big for running the floor. Jimmy hits him with the perfect hit ahead pass, and he gets the layup. Put the Heat up 23 early, and they never looked back.
All right, we'll give it that. You know what? We have to have a Thomas Bryant highlight in there. All right, let's go through some of the results around the league tonight, because now we're in position to do so. The big one tonight was Philadelphia and Cleveland. And the significance of this is I know that some Heat fans have talked about trying to catch Cleveland. Cleveland has been stumbling in the standings, but Cleveland got everybody back tonight. This is the first time that they've really been fully healthy in forever, right? Or at least their core guys, where they were actually able to start, Mobley, Allen, Strus, Garland, and Mitchell. Max came back, made 6 out of 9 shots. And they win at the end. They win by 3, and they got 25 from Yang off the bench from one of the minivan. And then Philadelphia, Maxey goes 7 of 26. Oubre goes 2 of 11. By the way, Oubre got off easy with that fine. I mean, that was it $50,000 fine and no suspension? Yeah. He got 3 B-words out there and only got fined, like, $16,500 for each of them. I give him credit. That's good value. But Tobias Harris, 21, the great Mo Bamba, a favorite of our guy Eternal with 14 tonight. But the great Kyle Lowry. By the way, when did Kyle decide to start shooting? Like, as soon as he got to Philadelphia? As soon as he got there. 7 of 12, 4 of 8 from 3, 23 points. But Philly loses, okay? Now, they lose, but the other result that the Heat really needed tonight was the result with the Pacers and the Lakers. And the Lakers just didn't show up, Greg. Like, this is Halliburton and Siakam combined for 43. And both Anthony Davis and LeBron play tonight, which hasn't happened a whole lot. AD has 24 and 15. LeBron has 16, 10, and 8. But they get nothing from their bench. And again, Siakam and Halliburton pretty much outplayed them. And Heat killer T.J. McConnell with 16 on the bench. Pacers win by 19. So as we reset, before we get to the other teams above them, Miami creates a little distance from Philly, but not from Indiana. They're still chasing Indiana right now, Greg. So, I mean, as we look at this, I mean, are you starting to lose confidence? I mean, they're tied in the loss column still. So 33 losses.
And that's all I'm looking at. So to me, I just feel like if you handle business the rest of the way, and that includes getting that game up in Indiana in April, you're going to be in good position to get the sixth seed. So you control your own destiny. And we talked about what can they do? What are things they can control to close out this season and make this something where it's worth it, make a worthwhile run. And so they've put themselves in a position where there's a path to do that. And they just got to go up to Indiana and get that one and take care of business in the other games, like the one that they had tonight where they won convincingly, to say the least. And so to me, I still see a path. Probably we're still going to have some play and drama, because that's just Miami Heat culture, to have the clutch games. But I think that the sixth seed is still within reach, and it's not a situation where you feel it slipping away yet. So you can still, you know, go into these next few games as you gear up for that game at Indiana with confidence.
Right. But the other thing that happened tonight, I shouldn't look past this, because now only one game ahead of Indiana, although two games ahead in the loss column, is Orlando, because the Magic lost tonight, correct? So now you're looking at the Magic in five. The Heat have a tiebreaker on the Magic, actually. The Heat have won a couple of times, and the Magic, the Clippers, Ben, we've talked about how the Clippers aren't really helping the Heat lately. There's been a few that, you know, the Clippers have dropped. But tonight they get 29, 11, and 5 from Leonard, and that's pretty much enough. And they beat the Magic. Paolo had 23, Franz had 13. If I was to say to you right now, Ben, again, they're up, they're still up the game on the Pacers. I was to say to you, who do the Heat have a better chance to catch, Orlando or Indiana? Who do you think they have a better chance to fade, I guess would be the question.
So off the top of my head, Indiana, I'm pretty sure, has a really easy last 10 or so games. Like, their schedule is not tough at all. And Orlando can't score. Like, they have a very good defense, but their offense, they have no shooting. Mm-hmm. So honestly, like, just taking a quick glance, Orlando's last 10 here, they play at New Orleans, at Houston, who is on fire recently, and their last three games at Milwaukee, at Philly, and then at home against Milwaukee to close the season out.
Wow.
So there's potential there for some slippage, especially, you know, a young team trying to make their first real shot push towards the playoffs. I could definitely see Orlando kind of going into some free fall here down the stretch.
I didn't know that about their schedule. That's interesting.
Because remember, at when we came out of the All-Star break, Orlando had the easiest schedule. That was the thing. Miami was third easiest, but a lot of those games are gone at this point. And now you're looking at a different slate coming up on the end of it. Orlando's a younger team that might lose it a little bit down the stretch. It feels like Halliburton has righted himself. He really struggling to shoot the ball over about a 3 to 4 week span, but it's been a little better of late. But I guess, and I'll let you guys weigh in on this before we get to the injury report. It seems like a lot of Heat fans don't want the five, right? Like,
no, like they we want six seed till we bleed, as we once said. We're back to that slogan again.
Is that just to get out of the Boston bracket then? Because you're talking about, because we don't really know who the four is going to be.
We don't care.
So this is not about the four. It could be Cleveland. It could be New York. It could still be Orlando, by the way, if they moved all the way up. But then you would need another team to drop above them. I'll just get to this, okay? to me, in a lot of ways, other than the Boston situation, which is, again, Boston's talent is there. Nobody's arguing with the level of, with the quality of starting lineup and rotation that they can put together. It's more about their mental state and their ability to win these games late and not go flat ISO with Tatum at the end with no imagination and just kind of fall apart and Jaylen and all the other things that happen with them. But I would argue that their talent level is higher than Miami's. I think you'd be stupid not to say that. Okay.
Yeah.
But I look at the rest of the East and I say it's about Miami. It's about how the Heat are playing. Okay. And I say that even when we talk about Milwaukee or New York, it's or even Cleveland getting a healthy lineup back tonight. The Heat have no fear of Cleveland at all. The Heat have no fear of Milwaukee at all. Maybe a little more respect than they would for Cleveland, but I think the Bucks have some healthy fear of Miami. And the Knicks, I don't know. He going to play Brunson and Hart 48 minutes a game? I mean, is that really the way that this is going to go?
Because he is.
So quick.
And at what point does this fall apart?
It's funny you mention that because there's 41 seconds left in this Knicks game right now. They're down 2 to San Antonio in overtime. DiVincenzo's played 48. McBride's played 45. Brunson's played 43. Hart's played 41.
Wow.
The high man off their bench, Mitchell Robinson, has played 19. Tibbs has no trust past their top five.
But how is it even possible? Because what's funny is when he has a fuller rotation, right? When he gets Ananobi back, if he ever gets Randall back, he'll stop playing some of the guys that he's been playing 40-plus minutes at all. He won't play them at all, right? Yeah, instead of like giving him 15 to 20, like you won't see McBride again, right? And yes. So that he can play his top guys 40. I don't even think it's lack of trust. I think it's just laziness. He just is like the substitute. Like it's just because, again.
Give it to an assistant.
Right. It's amazing. It's amazing.
They went out of their way to make a trade with the Pistons for Bogdanović and Alec Burks. And Alec Burks isn't playing. And Bogdanović has played 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, Burks they've soured on completely. I know Knicks fans feel like they got a player who wasn't even half of what they had before. But the Bogdanović thing, anybody who's watched Tibbs over the years knew that he was, although we believe Bogdanović to be a very good player who would have helped the Heat immensely. Okay,
yes,
as a starting four, he's not a Knick fit. I mean, he's just not a Knick fit. All right, so let's pivot back to the Heat though. Going into Sunday, again. Got to clean this one up, win it easy. Doesn't have to be by 60. Don't need to send any messages to Washington. They don't care. I saw Kuzma was on Twitter today offering people floor seats, and people were saying, "Are you paying us for them?" So nobody has. We know what it's going to be in that building. That's a Heat building. It always has been. It's like Atlanta or Orlando, except the product there is even worse. So look, just get the win there and settle in for the rest of the week. But I do think, all jokes aside tonight, that some good things came out of this with the Heat getting a little confidence, seeing who they can be again. And again, some of their players individually, I think Hawkes is the one that jumps out the most to me, getting back into some kind of rhythm. All right, let's get to the injury report and then we'll get out of here. And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report. All right, the one bit of news tonight, the one negative, was that Nikola Jovic, he came up a little gimpy. We saw him limping some, and they described it as a knee contusion, which is good. It didn't look like it was anything particularly serious. It also didn't look like the kind of thing that would keep him out if this game really, you know, was still in the balance, which it was not at that point.
But we'll see how he feels tomorrow.
That's the whole thing. I just hope this is not another thing. Like, two guys come back, two guys go out. I think, you know, from an injury perspective tonight, not that Jimmy was injured. He didn't look particularly sick this evening. So glad to see, you know, that the Miami Open flu has cleared and that he's fine at this stage. And as far as others, Kevin Love, you know, again, appears that he's ready to go. Mm-hmm. For them, but they said he was dealing with some personal issues the last couple of days. He also he had a whole launch of, you know, the Spider-Man movie and the other thing. He was making the rounds. And so he's been busy in other regards. Just seems like they just haven't wanted to kind of rush him back in there. But again, he got full work before the game. It looks like he's ready to return. And as far as the others, Hero and Robinson, we'll find out tomorrow if they're going to make the trip to DC. I doubt it in both cases. I feel like. Right. Just start Patty and just see who, you know, I still think Duncan's back before Tyler, but the fact that they let the media see Tyler work yesterday at practice, like when the doors open, like they didn't like scuttle Tyler to the back, which is something that sometimes they will do if they don't want the media to get a look at him, tells you that he may be relatively close, you know, to coming back, and that they wanted to push back on some of the stuff that was out there from Shams and from others. But the biggest lesson that we learned tonight, well, three lessons. One, Major Passons cannot host any more postgame shows because they lose when he's here. So, Ben, we appreciate you joining us. Number two, Joe Cronin, maybe the worst executive of all time, as I will say again. Got a text from a high level person. How does Joe Cronin still have a job? And you know, that is a remarkable thing. And the third thing is the lesson that my daughter taught me, which is that you just basically go by your gut feel on these things. And when I told her that the Heat were up by 38, she says, "How is that possible?" And I said, "Well, it's Portland." She says, "Well, they're trash." Anyway, have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.